does he not care that we perish? Though even we're so afraid, Jesus rose when they called him and said to you, where is your faith?
Because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows. Child, your cries have woken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storms of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and no. You're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now,
because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
You're up there worried that he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Because you've prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cry.
Thank you, sister. We always enjoy that one around here. Amen. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Sister Trudy, I think. Praise him.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary. the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows through the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day. Sing it with me. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. Yes, it does. And it flows to the lowest valley. I know it's the blood that gives me strength from day. One more time. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day.
Appreciate that, Sister Trudy. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Bob, you want to help us take up our offering? Praise. We're going to have another special, but let's sing a song and then we'll have that last special.
Together around your word this afternoon, Lord. And we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us, Lord. And we pray that you'll bless what little we give back to you this afternoon. Bless the tithes and offerings now, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing the song, I've Got So Much to Thank Him For, key of F.
I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. And when I think of all He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. When I look around and see the good things He's done for me, I know I'm not worthy of them all. For His blessings He freely gives, I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for, 'cause I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me, and when I think of all He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. And sometimes while on this way I kneel and stop and say, Lord, thank You for all You've done for me. Is that what you want to do this afternoon? And when I reach sweet heaven's shore, oh, please just let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me, and when I think of all He's done and where He's from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Once again, sing that chorus again. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me, of all He's done and where He's brought me from. I've got so much to thank Him for.
Hallelujah. When the Lord, when Satan brings all these doubts and all this condemnation, amen, and when you start thinking all the blessings of God, it just so much outweighs those things. And it's just like, why am I even thinking about the wrong things? Remember, God said, think on those things. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're going to have the group come and sing. And with this song, Brother Daniel's going to come speak for us and towards the end of the song.
Jesus blinded all my darkness. He sparked my heart within. His grace and mercy lit a passion, consumed my sin.
By a fire, so let the world come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till everyone has heard.
This love will never be extinguished. It's alive and wild and free. I'm overtaken by His power.
So let the world come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till everyone has heard. Jesus has changed my life, His name be lifted high. This holy fire's burning inside of me. Jesus has changed my life, His name be lifted high. This holy fire's burning inside of me. I cannot hold it inside, I cannot keep it quiet. This holy fire's burning inside of me. I cannot hold it inside, I cannot keep it quiet. This holy fire's burning inside of me. I've been touched by a fire, so let the world burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till everyone has heard. I've been touched by a fire, so let the world come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till
by the fire, amen. How many been touched by the fire? When you get touched by the fire, you're never the same this morning. You can't be the same. It changes the way that you walk. It changes the way that you talk. Amen. Can we just sing a little bit more of that? If you've really been touched by the fire, how many really been touched by the fire?
Oh, I've been touched by a fire. World, come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops. Oh, I've been touched by a fire. So let the world come and watch me. Shout it from.
I cannot hold it inside.
I've been touched by the fire this morning.
I've been touched by a fire.
Come on, let the world watch us burn. He's changed our lives tonight. We cannot be the same. I've been touched by fire. I've been touched by
fire.
At Calvary, he changed your name. At Calvary, he changed your name. One more time. I've been touched by fire.
I've been touched by fire.
Time this morning, he said, but at the afternoon service, preach as long as you want. I'm not gonna hold the people like Pharaoh, amen. But I'm gonna let God's people go, amen. But y'all sung it this morning, and it's been on my heart. But I'm gonna put my little South Carolina spin to it, if y'all don't mind. How great is our God? We're going to put my little South Carolina spin to it, you know. The heavens make your throne. Your awesomeness is known. Tell me who is like the Lord. Who is like the Lord? You speak and things exist. Nobody else does it like this. You are the living word. You are the living word. How great is our God. See how great is our oh, how great, how great is our God. Nations know you are King. You are the maker of everything. And you we live and move. And you we live and move. We call and you are near. Your very presence conquers all our fears. We make our boast in you. We make our boast in you. How great. How great is our God. Come on, name above all names. He is worthy of our. How great. Come on, no music. Let's just sing, how great. How great. Let's just worship him tonight. Lord, you are great and you're worthy to be praised tonight, oh God. Yeah, how great is our God. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and thank you, oh God, for, Lord, being a great God, oh God. Lord, we can't praise you enough for, Lord, how good you've been to us, oh God. Lord, how many doors you've opened, oh God. Lord, how many ways you've made, oh God. Lord, we just want to say that we love you and thank you tonight, oh God. And Lord, as we just lift up your holy name tonight, Lord, we pray that you would just pour out a blessing, oh God. Pour out a word to us, oh God. Lord, speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to my needs, oh God. Speak to every need that's in the building tonight, oh God. Lord, we're yearning tonight, oh God, for something from you, oh God. Lord, we know, Lord, that your word, Lord, will pour out, Lord, bread of life, Lord, into us, oh God. So we pray as we begin to pull and feed on your word, Lord, that you would give us something, oh God, that speaks to our very need, oh God. Give us something that speaks to our very heart. Give us something that speaks to the condition, Lord, of life that we are maybe living in right now, oh God. We grant it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Again, we deem it a privilege to stand before you once again. Thank our brother Wade and our pastor Sam Dale back there for the opportunity and the open door. If you have your Bibles this afternoon, go with me to Genesis chapter 3. We got two passages of scriptures we're going to be coming from tonight. And I had a single thought that I had prepared, but the Lord has been changing that thought since yesterday on the fishing trip. So thank Brother Wade for that. So I guess tonight y'all going to get maybe three or four sermons all in one. Because the Lord was just pulling me. So as we go to Genesis 3, we're going to start at verse 1 and we're going to go down to verse 10. If you got it, say amen. Amen. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the fruit of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves an apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the tree of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Again, Lord, we're going to go to Psalms 139, and we'll read this verse of scripture, and you can have your seat. When you got it, say amen. Amen. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings, mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell amongst the parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me from my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul, my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and thy book all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, when as yet they were there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in numbers than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Let's bow our heads once again. Oh God, we read your word. We pray that you would quicken it, Lord God. Speak, Lord. Be the preacher, oh God. Lord, move me completely out of the way. I yield my flesh unto you. I yield my thoughts unto you, and I yield my hearts unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. Tonight, like I said, it's three or four sermons put together, but we're going to put one title to it, amen. And tonight I want to minister on God's never-changing thoughts of you. So we see in the scripture of Genesis that we know the story, how God would come down in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And he would fellowship and dwell with man. Because we know in Genesis 1:26, he says that let us make man in our own image. So we're made, you know that you're made in the image of God. You know that you're made in the image of God. So God would come and fellowship with himself, which is you. So we see God was coming down in the cool of the day. But if you notice in Genesis 3, we see that the serpent had beguiled Eve. But I want you to look at, is it verse 9? Look at the verse. God still came down in the cool of the day to dwell with man, even though he knew they had failed. So that's where I get the thought of God's never changing thoughts of you. Because God had already knew and positionally placed man on earth. But notice when he fell, he still fellowship with him in the same manner. That's in the scriptures. Now let's look at our own personal lives. Some of us came from lifestyles that we know aren't godly. I know within myself, I was raised in the Message Church, taught right and wrong. But still, once I got old enough, I began to dip my finger in the pool of the world. And I did things, oh, God-forsaken, awful things that I should have never done. But I want you to hear this and hear me well. When you were in your condition of the world, God still saw you as perfect in his sight.
The devil loves to remind you of what you used to be. But I want you to know, God never looks at your present condition. He looks at the promise that he made to you. He promised you that you were more than a conqueror. So that's what he sees you as. Even if you feel defeated. Satan loves to try to block, take you out of the way. You see, he did that with Eve. He knew who to come to. He knew who to come to. Because he would have never tried that with Adam. Why? Because God had gave Adam the authority to be able to speak to any beast, anything, living thing on the earth. So he knew if he had tried to come to Adam, Adam probably would have killed him. He would have destroyed him. Because he had that much authority. So he decided to go to the weaker vessel. And see, that's what Satan looks at you as. A weaker vessel. He knows that you have fleshly struggles. He knows that within your flesh, you're weak. The scriptures say you're weak. That's what you are. You're weak. The scriptures say the flesh is weak. And if we live in this mortal flesh, we're weak. So he thinks he can beguile you. He thinks he can trick you in your mind. So he comes with a doctrine. I'm going to deal with everything today. Like I said, I'm dealing with everything today. He comes with a doctrine. The Bible says that it would be so close, it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And see, we live in this present world. And I hate to say that the message people, if I could say that, the message people have masked themselves and put themselves in a corner. And they think that scripture don't apply to us. If we know this is the full manifested word of God, where is that closeness going to come from? It ain't going to come from the Baptist. It ain't going to come from the Methodist. It ain't going to come from the Seventh-day Adventist, Pentecostal, whatever you want to name. It's going to come from these very same books. Very same message we listen to. Like I said this morning, you get two outcomes from the same word. So that close, that it will be so close, we think it's a far off. It's going to come from the Pentecost. Let me tell you something. You know when the devil coming at you with a Baptist religion. You know when the devil coming at you with a Pentecostal religion. Y'all seen it. All this. That's all it is. Ain't no power behind it. So you recognize it. That's all it is. But Satan knows that if he can take these message books right here and he can take your mind off of one word, that's all it takes, one word, he can pull you far away. He can pull you right out of the message. People walking away from the message didn't turn around and say, I'm just preaching the Bible. How can you preach the Bible without talking about this message? See, you see how it was so close? People have taken the message and tried to make it the Bible. When it is the, where do you think Brother Branham got this from? Because it wasn't message books and tapes back then. He was living in the day that we should be living in. So if we look, he said, "Ye shall not surely die." He came with a word. He came with a doctrine. Ye shall not surely die. If you should, can't you see? God is love. And he just loves everybody. If you love your cat and you love your dog, surely God will love you too. Just like them. That's what he come with. That's the world we live in. Like I said this morning, they're coming out with a gender-friendly Bible. They don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. They don't want to exclude nobody. And you look, all these great economical preachers out there that's televised, slowly walking into the one world order and don't even know it. The Pope put out a declaration, let's just bring all together, all unto one voice. We're all serving God. And he comes with that. And all these preachers, brother, we welcome you with open arms. Y'all know who I'm impersonating. We welcome you with open arms, brother. We love you and thank God for you. And don't know that that is the Antichrist. But we accept it. So, same thing will happen within this message. All these preachers, we got all these preachers in here. Y'all know what's going on. We will read the same message and getting so many different outcomes, so many different revelations. Oh, we got, Brother Branham's is going to come back. Huh? Brother Branham's going to come back one day. And we all going to be caught up. Whatever. Brother, we're not living in the third pool yet. How are we not living in the third pool yet? When it was simply just speaking the word. That's all it was speaking the word. We're not living in the third pool yet. Oh, brother, these brothers not living in the third pool. How can you not be living in the third pool if it's simply speaking the word, speaking to the mountain? That's all it was. Simple. It was so simple. But see, when we come and we get this religious ghost, you got two spirits, the religious spirit and the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people walk around here only got one of them. You can't have both. The Bible says you can't halt between two opinions and you can't serve two masters. Simple. So you either got the Holy Spirit or the religious spirit. A lot of these brothers coming out with different revelations of what the word is. They got it. I got it, brother. I got it, brother. I got it. Messing up everything. But let me tell you something. God knows him that are his. Okay, so even if one of them come to your doorstep, you recognize which is true and which is false. Eve knew the word. She even quoted the word back to the serpent. And said, well, God said that if we eat of this fruit, we shall die. But the serpent said, Surely you shall not surely die. God love you too much. You fearfully and wonderfully made. You can take this drink, brother. You can take this cigarette. Come on now. You say God is love, and that's what the Bible says. God is love. He'll love you. Man, no. The Bible says I'm a jealous God. And there'll be none before me. Keep my commandments. But if we look at that, the case still came down in the cool of the day, in the present fallen state and condition, and still fellowship with us. In the present condition that we were in, God allowed trouble to come into our lives to mold us into what he wanted us to be. Maybe you got into a world of drugs. So did I. Even though I knew right from wrong. I knew. I had a mama telling me. I had a daddy telling me. And I went out and did my own thing anyway. Wanted to smoke. Wanted to drink. Wanted to hang with the wrong people. But God still had favor. And he still loved me. In spite of what I was doing. When Satan wanted to say, you see, brother, God, he's smoking that cigarette. He's drinking that drink. God looked at him and said, I don't see what you're talking about. When you were out doing what you were doing, and Satan was trying to expose you to God, God never saw that. He never saw that. He said, walk before me and be ye perfect. And that's what you were to him. But Satan would love to try to take, veer your mind, veer God's mind off of what he made you to be. God's not looking at the condition. He's looking at the promise. He never looks at the condition that you're in. He looks at what he promised you. Because it has to be fulfilled in your life. So I went out doing drugs, doing all kinds of stupid stuff. Knowing I was supposed to, wasn't supposed to be doing it. Going out doing it anyway. Got caught up in the gang life. I was affiliated with it so much so, I wanted to be it. Oh, let me in. Three times, Brother Wade. Went to one of my friends. He looked me dead in my face. Me and him was friends. Dead in my face. Said, bro, I don't know who you is, but you don't need to be in a gang. I'm like, bro, we is homeboys. You know me a long time. Something came over him to give me a message not to get involved. But I was hard-headed, Brother Wade. Went to another man. Hey, bro, come on now. Let me get in, bro. Let me get in, dog. I got to get in. He looked me dead in my face verbatim and said the same thing, bro. I don't know who you is, but you don't belong in the game. And you know when you get hard-headed sometimes and God done gave you an answer? Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. When your kids come to you and say, Mama, Daddy, can I do this? No. Mama, Daddy, come, can I do this? Hey, you know us daddies, we... Well, did you ask your mama? Come on now. My parents ain't the only one now. Come on now. Be truthful in here. Did you ask your mama? Well, she told me to ask you. Well, go ask your mama again. Mama say, what your daddy say? He told me to ask you. Well, that means no. Well, that ain't the answer. I run back. Daddy, can I do this? Did your mama tell you no? Yes, she did. Well, then I'm not finna change my answer. No. So I asked him again. I went to another friend of mine. Hey, man, you know, can I get in with the dogs? I'm trying to get in. Because I was desiring the money, the fame, the popularity. I was desiring the lifestyle because it looked good. It looked desirable. It was pleasurable. I liked the way it looked. I liked the way it made people feel and look. And so as I walked in, he said the same exact thing to me a third time. But I was like, bro, come on now. And when you keep poking and poking and poking and poking and poking and poking and poking, God, finally, you know what? I've tried to keep you from it, but go ahead. He said, all right, well, bro, meet me here. Meet me here at this point in time right here, this certain place right here, right around the corner from where I lived at. So it was a Tuesday night, and we had church. And the time he told me to go meet him, we would be leaving to be at church. So I had to play sick. Mom, I can't go to church tonight, Mama. I'm sick. I ain't feeling too good. Mama said, you going to church? I said, Mom, no. I can't go. I'm sick. She said, you going to church? Let me tell you why. If you sick, church is the best place for you to be. I said, nah, Ma, come on now. I ain't got time to hear that. I'm sick. She said, no, you going to church. Couldn't ask my daddy because I knew what he was going to say. What your mama say? So we end up going to church. And the next day I get back to school and I don't see none of my friends. Everybody that I come in contact with, they're so sad. Seeing posts on social media, this person and whatever. And what ended up happening, where I was supposed to be at, a shootout had happened. Right where I was supposed to be at with the people I was supposed to be with. A shootout happened. And a man got killed. He wasn't dead yet, but eventually he would die. But a guy got shot in the head. In the head. But to make matters worse, he was shot in the head by his own brother. I was supposed to meet them. He ended up living 4 days and died. And his brother ended up going to jail for the murder of his own brother. And it was purely an accident. God had wanted me to be a certain thing, but yet I desired to be something else. God made Adam God of earth, but his subpart just wanted, desired to be something else. We desire to be something in this world when God said you're not of this world. What he said you was going to be, that's what you have to fulfill. It don't matter what you do, you're going to fulfill what he called you to be. He called you. The scripture says you are a royal priesthood. I've called you to a higher calling. I preached a sermon called out to be caught up. That's one of the sermons y'all hearing today. Called out to be caught up. He called you to a higher calling in order to be make a rapture one morning. So he ended up going to jail for his own brother's murder, and it was purely an accident. But you know, I ain't stopped there. I ain't get to get into the gang, but I sure was going to get affiliated as much as I could. And one of my friends in the 10th grade, at the wrong place, the wrong time, one of our good friends, me and him still talk. Wrong place, wrong time. Ended up going to jail for something he was purely, he was just there. That's all. He was just there. He was one of the people that told me not to get involved. Purely an accident. He was caught up in the wrong thing at the wrong time, and he'd been in jail since the 10th grade. I'm 24 years old. Do the math. Been in jail a long time, and he not getting out until next month. I talk with him from time to time, and he tell me, "Little bro, how you doing? I'm glad you ain't do what I was doing." Because you just don't know how gracious and good God is to you. You don't even know the things that could come your way, and God is putting a barrier around you, putting a hedge about you. Because you can look at people in your life and you see the condition that they're in, and it could have been you. It could have been you strung out on those drugs. It could have been you sleeping in the grave this morning, this afternoon. But it was nothing but the goodness of God. It was God that done the work for you. He's called you not according to your works, but according to his good measure. If God wasn't good to you, you wouldn't be here. If God's mercy and grace didn't remain, if he did not die for your sins, and we were living according to the law, it wouldn't be nobody here. It wouldn't be nobody. It wouldn't be no need for our earth, Brother Aaron. If the law remained and grace had never was never considered. You wouldn't even made it to adulthood. Because what the Bible say? You was born into the world speaking lies. And that's a sin, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong? You would have died as a baby. Because you would have never been perfect in the eyes of the law, but through the eyes of grace, you are perfect. You are perfect through the eyes of grace. No matter what you do, what you've done. Remember, the scriptures say God's thoughts is not your thoughts. I believe it says his thoughts are higher than the stars or the universe or whatever. Men look at you and they cast the spirit of and their convictions upon you of how you look. Look at, I'm going to get into it. We look at Brother Luis. I'm just using that example, brother. I can't believe he called himself a preacher. He come to church with no tie on. Talking about he going to song lead. He ain't got no tie on. Preacher's supposed to wear ties. Then he got the hat. Then he got the fedora. Call himself a preacher. Who do that? Somebody in the midst of the church is here and they take that out. Probably preacher's supposed to wear ties. I don't believe he ain't supposed to be. He called himself a preacher. What kind of message he listening to? Then we go to another church. Well, we stay in this church. Then we look, Brother Aaron, he a preacher too. He don't even come to church with a collar shirt on. What kind of message we listening to? And the pastor, he come in jeans to church. And we've doctrinated something that should have never been doctrinated. We've conjured up the spirit in the midst of the church to lock people down. When we're using the thing that God used to call you out of to call right back into something else. We're using this very message that was sent out to give us freedom. The scripture says, come out of hurt my people. But we're using it to come right back into something else. Man have put their own. That's what a denomination is. If you didn't know that, a denomination is not a denomination until you put your own ideas to it. At one point in time, all of them was right, because it was pure and unadulterated. But when a man put his own thoughts to the word, or I'm going to say it like this, his own interpretation of what he feel, it was nothing sent from God. But he put his own interpretation to the word, and he came out with a Baptist religion. Well, I believe it's three gods. I believe it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're three separate divine persons. God ain't schizophrenic. It's one God. The scripture says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm going to keep going. You come now to, we get sophisticated with it. We're African Methodist Episcopal. I don't even know what that is. We believe everything, and you can be whatever you want to be. And still, God will still love you, and you still gonna make a rapture. What kind of religion is that? We believe a set of rules, but then we get into Pentecostal. Pentecostal was right at one point in time. We got to give it to them. But they never went higher to what God wanted them. Pentecost was right. Holiness was right. But they never got the more. They never got the more that God was going to pour out into them. But we have it. But even in the more that God has poured out into us, we still come out of, well, we got two souls. We got two souls. We believe in a return ministry. We believe that if you receive the message of the hour, you'll be raptured. It takes more than that. Well, we believe that you can have the Holy Ghost, not know the message, and you'll still make it. That ain't your way to decide. That ain't your place to try to say that. Well, I believe that you can go out into the world. You can find you a man. You can find you a woman. You can bring them in and God will save them. It don't work like that. Don't work like that. Yeah, you're going to have trouble. Because the scriptures say, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? You can't walk together unless you're in agreement. Well, we got one more. I believe you can't fellowship with nobody but who's in the message. Well, how are you going to be fishers of men? Don't the scripture tell you that, Brother Rock? Am I wrong? Am I wrong? The scripture say that you should be fishers of men. Does it say, go ye out into all the world, preaching and teaching in my name? So where do we get the revelation of only the message of the hour got it? You don't know who got it. And some people in these denominations look better than we do. But we got our own little thoughts. We in the message. God has called us to a higher calling. We adopted. If you got to tell somebody you adopted, if you got to try to prove yourself when God is your banner, something wrong. You off somewhere. We in the message. We got the full word. We got everything under the sun. I told you who you are this morning. I told you who you was this morning. But I'm going to tell you what the thoughts that God have of you tonight. And then I'm going to also tell you the thoughts that men have about this word. So we bring these. So we get that. And we've come and conjured up a doctrine. Oh, well, brother. I don't think we should talk about Brother Branham in church. How can you not? How can you? You wouldn't be who you was without God using Brother Branham. Well, if we're going to stop calling his name, Brother Wade, I just think we should just need to call, just stop calling everybody name. Especially Paul. We just definitely stop talking about him. Because he said he laid the foundation and opened up the way. We got to stop talking about him, Brother Roberts, Brother Bob. Stop talking about Paul. Jeremiah 2. Daniel 2. Might as well keep all of them. And we just say, he said that one day there will be someone that comes back for us. Who is that someone? Well, the Bible says that in the last days that somebody was going to come back to turn somebody back to somebody. Well, the Bible says, I suffer not them to preach or have authority over us. Y'all laughing, but y'all, this is what we about to come into. We can't hurt nobody's feelings no more. It's about to be gender friendly. And God said, let us make them in our images. Y'all keep on. God gonna be doing this on the front of the Bible too. Don't think y'all gonna get away so easy. They gonna come and persecute y'all for standing for the truth. Because you know the thoughts of God that is required of you. God saw you in his mind. And he positionally placed you in this age because he knew that you would carry out what he called you to do. when the squeeze begin to come, he already knows that his bride will be ready. He knows his bride will be ready to move in the midst of the closeness, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of people telling you you don't believe the message right. That's what's going to happen. Got a preacher friend of mine tell me, a pastor told him, you shouldn't call Brother Branham name in your ministry. I was like, I say, really? Yet the same preacher go out and he do exactly what he tell this preacher not to do in somebody else's pulpit. Why you halt between two opinions? That's what the scriptures say. Everything is scriptural. We have to deal with them worshiping Brother Branham. Well, they worship the prophets of old. It's a plain scripture that tell you, do not worship us. It's plain scripture tell you, do not worship us. But yet we do. Sadly to say, we do. Go to these different meetings, and this is all you hear about. Are we worshiping Brother Branham, brother? Should we say Brother Branham? Or should we just say Jesus? You come in a church, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. Well, brother, you said Brother Branham 48 times, and you only said Jesus 10. That's a problem, brother. See, you missed what God was trying to give you that morning because you're so focused on. You trying to put something. You trying to make your own doctrine. And that's why you got people that want to come around church to church, church to church. This church ain't good enough for me, so I'm going to go over here. Ah, well, no, he too hard on how he preach. I'm going to go over here. Oh, no, I don't think they fully believe what they talking about, so let me slide over here. Well, he read the quotes too much. Let me go over here. He don't read the quotes enough. Let me go over here. He talk about Brother Branham too much. Let me go over here. Well, he don't talk about Brother Branham enough. Let me go over here. And you halting between opinions, trying to find something. And you never get filled yourself. God, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Brother Branham said God's thoughts are eternal. He can't change them. And we know God can't lie. The Bible said, let me tell you, Brother Branham said that God will bankrupt heaven before he let his word fail. Bankrupt heaven. I don't even know what bankrupt mean, but some people know what bankrupt mean. I'm uneducated about that stuff, but he said he'll bankrupt heaven just to prove his word. Prove his word in you. That's how much confidence he has in you. That's how much he thinks of you. Even though Satan whisper in your ear and tell you that you're not. But let me tell you something. Whenever Satan does that, I want you to say this back to him. Satan, if I am what you say I am, why are you telling me? Because I know you the father of lies. And if you telling me that I'm something, that means you lying. If he telling you that you not something, he lying. He'll give you 99% truth and a little bit of lie. A little bit of lie. He wasn't off the word that far. You see, in the beginning, he wasn't that far off the word. What was he doing? He was making something for himself. Brother Wade, it'd be funny, these people, because the scripture tell you this too. They're going to be people come to Jesus and say, well, Jesus, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Heal the sick in your name. Brought the message to the world in your name. Believed in Brother Branham in your name. And what he'll say, even when they come with the banner of the message, the fig leaves of the message, what he'll say? Depart from me. Never knew you. It's going to be funny. We're going to see a lot of people like that. They're going to come saying that same thing. I did. You seen me. God, I was at Spoken Word Church preaching your word. They were saying amen. They was rejoicing. They were creating an atmosphere. And he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Lord, don't you remember? I don't remember what you're talking about. But you know, Satan uses that same tactic. He'll go to God. He'll remind you of what you used to do that you've already repented for. Just so you could go back and say, God, Lord, forgive me for doing those drugs 20 years ago. And you know what God's saying? Why you remind me of something I don't even know what you're talking about? Because he put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He don't even remember them. But Satan will want to remind you just so you can go back to God and make you feel guilty and make you doubt what you got. Get Jeremiah 29 and 11. Look what God say about you. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I can't preach out my notes, so I gotta preach by inspiration. My tablet died. And I know I charged the thing last night. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Somebody got it. What does it say? For I know my thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. God knows what he thinks of you. He loved you in your mother's womb. That song I wanted to sing this morning says, from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. And I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. In the beginning, before the worlds were framed, God had thoughts of you in his mind. And those same thoughts that he had in the beginning were the same even now. What you have, the blessings that you have, God knew that from the beginning. The trials that you had, God knew that from the beginning. And he brought them because he knew what it would pull from the inside of you. He knew what it would bring out of you. He knew what it would produce. The Bible says, count it all joy. Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Satan loves to try to pull you into your trials. Hallelujah. And then the scripture also tells you that a righteous man will fall 7 times and he gets back up. So let me tell you something. You are the righteousness of God. That's what you are. I told you what you were this morning. Believe it. Because that's what God think of you. And that's what he always is going to think of you. Until the end. When you sup with him. That's what you will be. He produced himself in you. That's what you are. You are, like I told you this morning, you are the word. And when God looks at you, he's looking at himself. When he looks at you, he sees himself. So that's why he can never, ever listen to what Satan says about you. Because when he's looking at you, he's looking in the mirror of the word. He's looking at himself. So basically, in other words, Satan trying to tell God, you flawed. This is what you is. And so Satan don't know. God is looking at him. He's looking at himself in the mirror. So he's blinded by that. I don't know why, but he's sitting here listening to the same word I'm preaching tonight. Satan, if you think you can come to Satan with your knowledge of the message and what you got, you are happy funerals for you, my friend. It's a preacher out here now who challenges every doctrine in the world. I like his faith, I ain't gonna lie to you. Challenges every doctrine in the world. He tell him, I want to prove yourself in the Bible. Many have tried and failed miserably. One time he had the Muslim nation come up and try to prove themselves. And he challenged them on their ground, on their doctrine. He wasn't trying to prove his doctrine. He said, I want you to prove your doctrine to me. So he challenged them with one simple question. Brother, it was 12 brothers against one man. But he was steadfast on what he believed. He was tearing them up left and right. Had them looking sick. Sick. I felt bad for him. I wanted to jump through the screen and help him out just a little bit. You should say this. Maybe this might help you. Taunting them. Get them this scripture. This might help them. Get them this scripture. That might help them. Sick. Just recently, a Hebrew Israelite tried to come and challenge him on something stupid. It was stupid. He wanted to say, and you know what? And I'm hearing a little bit of it in the message too. Some of y'all might be hearing it too. That the COVID-19 shot is the mark of the beast. Y'all hearing that too? So we hearing these updates in the message. Okay, I thought I was the only one, you know. I didn't want to come up here with nothing false. I just wanted to. So the Hebrew Israelite come up. The mark of the beast is the COVID vaccine. He come up there. He said, prove what you say. Prove what you say by the Bible. Now, if y'all, none of y'all don't know what Hebrew Israelites is. They said they are, what is the children of Judah, the tribe of Judah. That's what they call themselves. They come out of the forbidden tribe is what they call themselves. So basically, if I can say it, black Jews, what they call themselves, black Jews. Now, I don't know where that come from. I ain't part of it, I'll let you know. I'm black, but I ain't a Jew. I'll tell you that much. But it's people believe that. It's comical, but it's people that believe that, even in this message. And so, come up, prove himself. You are proven by the word already, by yourself. You don't have to prove nothing. God has already proven you. So he comes up, he continues to try to plead his case. Looking sick. Pastor, y'all might know him, Geno Jennings. Man, that's a bad brother right there, I tell you. If I could have just half of the knowledge that he got, I might win y'all over tonight. But he came, he said, prove yourself. And the man looked stupid. He said, I don't believe in the New Testament. And he said, some of the things that this so-called, and if I could say it, I don't believe this now. I'm just saying, these pale-faced people brought this religion of the New Testament. When there's no, I've read the scrolls, I've read the Hebrew scrolls, I've read the Jewish scrolls, and there's no talks of a John the Revelator. They brought that when we came over here on the boats. And the man say, are you serious? That's what you believe? You don't believe in the New Testament? He said, no, I think the stuff that John the Revelator had should be attributed to Daniel. He said, let me show you something, son. Let me teach you something. Because the Bible got to harmonize. And I like the way he said that. The Bible got to harmonize. He said, these things that you're talking about in Daniel, Daniel was prophesying these things. And John, the same inspiration came to John. And he wrote them. He said, so what you saying you believe, you basically telling me you believe this, but you don't believe in the New Testament. And they're so focused on what color Jesus is. And he said, let me tell you something. The Bible says he has no form, no comeliness. And when we will look upon him, there's no beauty we desire of him. But we dealing with that in the message too. We got to have an answer for everything. This is the thoughts we have. I'm dealing with this. We got to have an answer for everything. Everything got to be proven by scripture. Everything that is written for our learning. Got to be proven in scripture. You are already scripturally proven. That's what you are. God has told you what you are. That's it. You ain't got to argue with nobody else. You ain't got to prove yourself to nobody, brother. You know what God done for you personally, right? It's your personal walk. People love the channel. People, just because you don't look like something, like I used earlier, he don't wear a tie. I don't think he a preacher. What my thoughts matter? They don't matter at all. Man love to cast their thoughts and their convictions. That's why we so messed up in the world today. You know why a lot of young people walk away? And I'm speaking from a young person. You know why we always walk away? It's because the examples that are being set at home are not the same that are being set at church. And we don't know what to believe. Because you have men coming into these churches preaching their own thoughts. Their own convictions of what they think is right. You don't look like you. You don't look like you was saved. I had a preacher tell me one time, I'm sitting you down because you don't look like you was living right. I was like, okay. So I bit. You know, I'm going to let you talk. I said, so what was I doing? He said, you just didn't look like you was living right. He said, you came to church in sweatpants and a t-shirt and some tennis shoes. I said, that was it? He said, yeah. He said, you was just looking like that, so I wasn't finna have you in my church doing something. I said, well, brother, I work in a mental institution. I'm not finna wear my church clothes to a mental institution to have them ripped off. Because I have to wrestle with people all day. That's why I'm in sweatpants and a t-shirt. Well, I just didn't think you was living right. Okay, well, you know what, brother? You go ahead. Go ahead, have your way. Because I'm not finna argue or fight with you. God will prove himself in you to whoever need to see it. Brother Wade saw something in me to bring me here. I didn't have to prove myself to him. Brother Jewel didn't even have to prove. He said something to him about it, but it wasn't. Was it what he said, or was it what you saw? God will prove himself to people for you. So let people think what they want to think about you. Young people, I'm encouraging you, let your friends think what they want to think about you. Because the scripture says, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. So let them persecute you about wearing a dress. Let them persecute you because you don't want to wear shorts. Let them persecute you because you don't listen to rap music. Let them persecute you because you dress a certain way. Because you shall inherit the kingdom of God through that suffering. Not just for the young people, for the adults too. Let them persecute you because you raised your child a certain way. Preachers, let them persecute you because you don't fall into the traps of the world. Let them persecute you. Because God will, let me tell you something, Brother Branham said you got to go through the what? Hall of critics before you get to the Hall of Fame, right? And that scripture, like I just said, you got to go through people. You're going to have to. Let me tell you something. The Bible says offenses will come. And let me tell you something. Me and my wife, we was talking about this the other day. Our lives, all our lives, we've had to fight just to try to keep our own integrity. People have spat on us, said so many things about us in church. Let me tell y'all something. Ain't no church. Let me tell you, Brother Jewel said best. He said, ain't no perfect church. He said, I found one. He said, I finally found one. You know where it's at? He said, the graveyard. He said, that's where the perfect church at, the graveyard. In church, in church, you're going to feel it. People going to look at you a certain way. People going to feel like they above you. In church. Don't pay it on mine. Because if somebody, let me tell you something. If somebody feel like they above somebody, that means they fighting within themselves. If you got to try to keep a social status. Hey, man, let me stop because it sounds like I'm talking about somebody in the church. Like I said, don't get offended by what I say. But it happens in church. Oh, man, let me tell you something. My mama is my best friend. Y'all met her this morning. This wife, my wife right here, is also my best friend. But before I met her, my mama was my best friend. I'm a mama's boy. I was telling Brother Levi about that yesterday. He was he was saying how, I was like, let me tell y'all something. I said, all boys is mama's boys. I said, we try to say we're daddy's boy, but daddy ain't really looking at you, especially if he got a girl. It's five boys, one girl. Y'all met the one girl this morning. She crippled, so let me not say that. But she got everything. Let me tell you something, Brother Wade. My sister spoiled by me. She got me, my daddy, my uncles, everybody. She's so wrapped around, she got my daddy so wrapped around his finger, she went to college in North Carolina. We moved to North Carolina. I'm being the firstborn. I want to go to college in D.C. Oh, you going by yourself. Where's the love at? But we mama's boys. When I said I'm going to D.C., my mama said, no, you not. You staying right here in South Carolina. I said, Mom, you know I've been wanting to go to D.C. for the longest. She said, no. I said, okay. Me and her have a relationship where we honest with each other. Let me tell you something. I respect my mother more because she knew when she needed to be a mother and when she needed to be a friend. There's a balance to it. I'm not telling parents how they should parent. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just telling you my testimony. She knew when to be my friend and when to be my mother. When I had troubles and I needed a friend, she was there. When I needed correction on something, she was my mother there. So there's a certain sister who didn't like the way I would talk to my mother at times. Now, granted, it wasn't disrespectful at all. It was just us talking. We laughing and playing. She said something to me. I was like, girl, please, hush. And we laughing about it. But her children was like, oh, he disrespected his mama. Oh, and they ran back to their mama, who was our children, who was basically over to Sunday school. Let me put it like that. Ran back to their mama, and we had practice that night, and she laid it into me. The Bible say, honor thy mother and thy father, for this is right, and your days shall be long. And I was growing up, you ain't disrespect your parents, because you wasn't doing nothing in church. So you better be lucky I'm letting you sing. And let me tell you, my mama's sitting right here. And I'm looking at her like, you ain't finna say nothing. You better get up and say something. Let her talk to me like that. And we get like that sometimes too. You ain't gonna talk to me like that. I'm the bride. You at work, somebody talked to you a certain way. It's a preacher I know now. Said he was at work and a man slapped him. I said, he told me, I said, glory to God. I said, that ain't what was going through your mind. That ain't what was going through your mind. But he said it, though. I believe it. He said it. He said, I said, glory to God. I said, that wouldn't have been me. They'd have been saying 911, 911. Somebody get him, please. He's supposed to be a Christian. I ain't gonna say it. Because I'm a Christian don't mean I forgot who I was. Just because I carry a Bible don't make me sweet neither. I'm like Joe Lewis, I'm sweetness. That's me. But anyway, she laid into me because she thought I was being disrespectful. Because her relationship with her children was she was always a parent. You gonna say what I got to say. You gonna listen what I got to say. You gonna do what I say. And you ain't got no opinion in this house. But that wasn't my mama. My mama would sit down and she would say, well, you tell me how you feel. Let me say, young people respect that a lot. When you can get a parent that'll tell me how you really feel. Because sometimes we don't have an understanding of why certain things happen. Even in, and that's not just in parenting, but in the Christian life, we don't have an understanding of why certain things happen. Why certain things have this consequence. And so we would sit down and we would talk and we would have a discussion. And I was free to not so much be disrespectful, but to speak my mind. And it would never be disrespectful. I learned respect by being able to speak and learn what's disrespectful and what's not. So whenever I would speak to her, I would tell my mama. And she'll tell you the same thing. I get rowdy sometimes and she has to say, boy, who is you talking to? She said, don't forget, I'm your mama. And I'm like, Mom, I'm just saying nothing. Shut up. That's mama right there. That ain't friend no more. Then I know I done went too far. Because I was laying into her one time. You say you la, 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 la. And she said, damn, who is you talking to? She almost wanted to quote scripture on me. Oh, Daniel, shut up. Oh, that's scripture. Y'all ain't know that. The Bible say, oh, Daniel, shut thy mouth. She had to use that on me sometimes. Oh, Daniel, shut up. And she said, well, listen to me. Let me tell you something. And we would have a discussion. Now it's with this woman right here. Same thing happened. Same thing. We go at it. I'm right. I'm so glad. I'm so glad God didn't give me a wife that'd be like my Lord. Because he knew I wouldn't need that. He got me a wife that'd tear me up. I'm going to correct you. You off. My wife will tell you that I struggle, and I don't know if it, and I'm just sharing my heart with y'all tonight. I don't know about any other ministers, but I always struggle with making sure God, being confirmed that God is actually wanting me to do something, you know, especially with ministering. When it is hard being a minister, because you want to make sure that you're in the will of God and you're preaching and speaking what God wants you to speak. And you're not preaching your thoughts. And you're not preaching your own convictions. You want to be sure of that. And so I always struggle with that. And like I said, I'm so glad God gave me a wife that'll speak up. And ain't scared to use her mouth. My wife said, she said, boy, hush. She said, do you believe you in God's will? I said, yes. She said, and what you talking about? She said, if you believe you in God's will, Walk. Keep going. It ain't your business to know what God is going to do for you. I'm like, if it had been anybody else, I can't believe she spoke to her husband like that. But you know what I said? I love you, honey. I love you, baby. Because we as husbands need that. Because when especially people in the church, Brother Wade, I'm going to use you an example. Cause you and Brother Sam, I'm going to use y'all an example. Y'all acting pastors. Y'all see this great, mighty man of God. But let me tell you what she sees. She sees and I don't want to say it like this, but she sees the scared little boy. The weak wimp. I hate to say it like that, but she see the wimp. But she gives you a word of encouragement that makes you feel like the man God called you to be. And that, behind closed doors, I'm nobody. I'm a wimp. I guarantee you in the car, I'm going to be like, oh, baby, how I did terrible today. And you know what she's going to say? Boy, shut up. And that's the truth. She's going to tell you, boy, shut up. You preach what God wanted you to preach. I appreciate that, sister. But that's the world that we live in. We let our thoughts get in the way. And we allow Satan to take control of our minds. And to just completely tear up what God has already brought forth in you. His thoughts of healing, thoughts of peace, love, all that. But we within ourselves, we allow Satan to attack our mind. Brother Branham said that the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. Satan loves to attack your mind. He can't attack your heart because he knows that's the dwelling place of God. And see, God deals with the mind, yes, but God doesn't necessarily strongly deal with the mind. Because he knows your mind can be swayed. Your mind can be tampered with. But that's why he deals with the heart, because in the heart is where he can anchor himself. He can't anchor himself in your mind. Because he knows that one thought that sounds good, it sounds good. That's why the brain up here close to the ears. Because if it sounds good, that's it. That's how this closeness, it'll be so close, it'll deceive. That's how it's going to come in, because it's going to sound just like the message. They're going to be preaching it using Brother Branham's name. Preaching out the quotes. And it's going to sound good. But see, if the anchor is in your heart, you know when you hear it, it'll sound good, but it just don't feel right. It's going to be hit. It's going to be just something knocking at your heart. And it's not going to feel the same. It's like, okay, it sound the same. It look the same. But it's the presence behind it. See, that's why you don't so much look at what he's saying. When he's behind the pulpit, don't so much look at what the preacher's saying. Look for the spirit. If you feel the presence of God, and if you know God is speaking to you, that's what you look for. Don't look for kind words and good. The Bible says there'll be a day where they don't want to hear sound doctrine. We don't want to hear just plain preaching. We got to hear something deep. I don't know why it's like that. I ain't like that no more. I used to have to be, well, if you got to preach something deep. If y'all was looking for Benny Perry, I'm sorry. I am not him. That was some big shoes, and I can't feel them. My foot bigger than his anyway. Deep, deep, revelated preachers. That's good. That's good. But what is it doing for your soul? You can have all the deep revelated preaching and all that, but it's getting down with your soul salvation. It's good to have knowledge. Ain't nothing wrong with having it. But where's the spirit behind the knowledge? The Bible says the letter killeth, but what? The spirit giveth life. You can go up here and preach all the quotes you want. All the quotes you want. But if God don't come and quicken them quotes, if God don't come and quicken them scriptures, they ain't nothing but words. It ain't doing me no good. It's not doing you no good. I use the term of, you really, if you ain't got the Holy Spirit, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, and you reading all the quotes, you ain't nothing but a knowledgeable sinner. You ain't got no life in you. Scripture says you having a form of God, but denying the power thereof, the fullness and the power thereof. That's what we have today. We don't have a pure adulterated word no more. Man done put their own ideas and put their own, put all that in it and bring it forth unto you. And you eat it. You eat it. But what is it producing? That's what you look for. What is the word producing in your life? Every word should produce something inside of you. Producing perfect faith, perfect love. That's what we're being called to. Because that's what's going to be there. That's what he said. Only perfect love and perfect faith will be there. Is it producing perfect faith? Is it producing perfect love? Loving your brother, even though he offends you. Get into a heated discussion. Brother Bob, that scripture there was not right. Brother Aaron, and you sit there and say amen to it. That wasn't right. Heated discussion, heated argument. But you still leave with the same love that you had when you first came to the conversation. That's what we're being pulled to. If it is not producing that, something is wrong. If you're not producing that, something is wrong. We've mixed it all in. We've messed it all up. Preachers, it ain't y'all fault. It is not the laity's fault where the word has gone. Y'all are innocent. It is preachers that come behind these pulpits that God did not call, but they because they feel. See, that's what we're going off of feeling. Well, I feel that God is calling me. Well, when is the, it's a time not to feel no more, and it's a time to know. I know God has called me. I know God is my healer. I know God is my redeemer. It ain't a time to feel anymore. Feelings is over with. It ain't time to be reading Braille anymore. It's time to know. It's time to know who you are tonight. It's time to know what God thinks of you. And it's time to know what's pure and what's tampered. If you can't tell by now, you need to go get it. It's a late hour. It is a late hour. If you don't see scripture prophecies being fulfilled, if you don't see that now, you in trouble. And I ain't just talking about the purple of garment and roll all that. No. The world, it is getting hard. Brother Bram said it'd be sickness come on earth that would cancer look like a toothache. And we see that now. We so worried about COVID, we ain't even focused on cancer no more. They done stopped trying to find a cure for cancer. COVID killing them faster than cancer. And it'll be something worse to even come worse than COVID. This is just the beginning. This was just to try to pull you into position. This is God just dropped that in there just to try to get you to come to who you are. But it's going to get worse. You think this little shutdown we had was something. No. There's something greater that is coming. Something greater that's coming. And you ain't going to be able to live stream. You ain't going to be able to Zoom no more. or Google Duo, FaceTime. You ain't going to be able to do none of that no more. Then the tabernacle of God should be in you. So this earthly house right here, ain't it'll be gone. The tabernacle of God should be in you. That's where it's going to be. That's where it's going to have to really count. You can look and act a part in here right now. But behind closed doors, when you can't come to church no more, when they take all your Bibles away, when they strip you of the message of the hour, will it live then? Will you be able to produce what Brother Branham said the bride is going to produce at the end time? Or will you just fall at the wayside? It is the time of separation. Separating them. They've fallen by the wayside. People we know, been in the message for years, just walking away like it's nothing. People been dedicated by Brother Branham, say, I don't believe him. Parents walked wherever Brother Branham went, was there, all around the world. I don't believe it no more. You were there. You witness the power and the move of God, and you say it's false. How's that possible? Except God's tabernacle wasn't in you. You are the temple of God. Who's dwelling in you? Who's dwelling in you this morning? Ask yourself, who's dwelling on the inside of you? If you are unsure, I advise you strongly to get your oil while you can. Because sooner or later, one of these days, you ain't going to have it. You ain't going to be able to get it. Ain't going to be no church to try to run to. I seen a video where it is a little short clip of how the rapture would take place. We will be in services like this. The preacher will be up here preaching. And all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, everybody's gone. And there'll be people still sitting in these pews. The Bible says one will be in the bed. One will be taken up and one will be left behind. Two will be in the field. One will be taken up and one will be left behind. That's how it happened. And you ain't going to be able to get it then. You're going to have to suffer. I'm not going to be the one that say ain't nobody going to be saved in the tribulation. Because I don't know. And I'm not going to tell you something I don't know. That's what's wrong. Preachers scared to say they don't know. I don't know. I don't know everything. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't know everything. Brother Wade don't know everything. Brother Sam don't know everything. Brother Bob don't know everything. Brother Roberts don't know everything. And they ain't afraid to tell you. They don't know. There's nothing wrong with that. We got all the weight on the preachers. We putting a lot of extra weight on ourselves. Because we know there's a certain way we have to carry ourselves in front of you. We know if you ask us a question and you stump us, how it's going to look. I can't tell you what year Brother Branham preached adoption. I don't know off the top of my head what seal he said this quote in. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've been in places like that where they can tell you everything about Brother Branham, but can't tell you nothing about the Bible. Simple questions. Who built the ark? Let me look through the Bible. Well, what year did Brother Branham preach adopted? 1963. And in paragraph 314, he said that in the adoption... Okay, well, what year did Moses build an ark? Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. It was 1860 A.D. Moses ain't built no ark. Who was the voice crying in the wilderness? Brother Branham. No. Who got hung on the cross upside down? Jesus. No. Well, how many squirrels did Brother Branham say was there? Three squirrels. It was three squirrels. And there was actually a fourth one because the brother said that he, Brother Branham, was going to find that squirrel. But you couldn't tell me that Peter was hung upside down. You see where the underlying issue is? We've separated the message from the Bible. When they harmonize, when they're together, they come together. That is the fullness of the word. When they come together, they correlate perfectly. Everything Brother Branham said was proven by scripture. That's what drew a lot of people. Now, my wife will tell you that right now. That's what drew her, because he backed up what he said by the Bible. You're backed up by the Bible, and everything you say got to be backed up by the Bible. That's your foundation. That's what they live by. That's what you got to live by. I know we live in a world where people make the word live around them, but you need to live around the word. God's called you something higher. You live around the word. Let the word live around them. They pattern themselves. Read the same Bible we read, but they don't apply it to their life because they feel like it don't fit. The Bible says the word is sharper and quick than a two-edged sword. And God made it that way to cut things out of your life. The world don't like to be cut by the word. They don't like to be cut by the word because they know it'll hurt. But some things God is doing in your life will hurt. God will take people out of your lives. It'll hurt. God will cut things that were precious to you out of your life, and it'll hurt. God will make somebody look you in your face and hurt your feelings just to mold you to take on his character, because there ain't nothing you gone through that God ain't been through. That's, he said he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So it don't matter what you go through. God knows how it feels to go through it. That's why he gave you grace. That's how he said, I would never leave you comfortless. He knows how to comfort your need by the trial that you're going through, because he's been through it. He's been persecuted. He's been forsaken. He's been lied on. He been betrayed. He been beaten down. Physically and spiritually. He been talked about. Same thing you go through. People walked away from him. People don't want to have nothing to do with him. He know how it feel. So don't let Satan tell you something that you are not. Let's stand tonight. Don't let Satan tell you that you're something you are not. He's a liar. He knows. If he can just whisper in your ear to try to make you forget what God has brought you through, he got you. But don't let him, because the Bible says he is the father of lies. He is going to lie to you about who you are. He is going to lie to you about what God thinks of you. But I got scripture to back up what I said about what God thinks about you. And his thoughts will never change about you. No matter what. Let me tell you something. God has already forgiven you for the past, present, and you forgiven for things you ain't even did yet. He gave you that much grace. He forgave you for things you're going to do in the future that you may not even know about. So allow the word to take effect in your life. Don't let Satan strip you of your inheritance. Musicians, come up. The word has been brought forth. Y'all know that song, Crucified, Laid Behind a Stone. Anybody got a need tonight? Anybody know who they are? Let's sing that song, Crucified. Let's just worship. Forgive me for taking so much time, Pastor. Amen. Let's sing that song.
Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live.
Laid behind a stone. What a song. I love it when you can really relate to a song. It's really inspired. That song is inspired. Crucified, laid behind a stone. He laid there for me. I don't know about you, but he laid there for me. Let's give our brother a good hand. There was three preachers at his church when I went and preached for Brother Jewel that I got their numbers, but Brother Daniels, his name just never left my mind. So I was thinking, Brother Dan Daisley told me, I asked him one time, I said, how do you get a preacher to come by? How do you pick a preacher for your congregation to come by? He said, you're up here today. He said, when I was on my way back from Africa, he said, the whole time on my plane flight, he said, I thought about you and how we'd met and you know, your name didn't get out of my head. And he said, that's the way I do. And that's the way I did with Brother Daniel. And I think that he was timely. It was here for all of us. We need what he said. Because it was the word of God. Amen. And you know where I love it? It came from his heart. Yes. It came from his heart. It came from a personal background of a relationship that he had with the devil, and then now he's got with God. Amen. A lot of times, preachers sometimes, you know, they don't like to talk about their past. We all got a past. We all got one. Everybody, if you've been living for 10 years, 5 years, or 2 years, you still got a past. Amen. But God deals with that, though. He deals with that through the preaching of the Word of God. And then, like you said, you know, God throws it in a sea of forgetfulness. Sometimes, Brother Daniel, we go fishing. We try to fish it back out. God don't ever fish it back out. He forgets it. When we're called the sinless bride of Jesus Christ, God means it. He said, without spot or wrinkle. Spot or wrinkle. That's what he said, not what I said or some preacher said. That's what the man himself said. He said, we're without spot or wrinkle. We're going to perfection. And it's going to take us living the right life and having a fivefold ministry come in and tell us what we need to hear. And I appreciate what God's done for us. Thank you for all of you sitting and listening today. Thank you for coming and being a part of the word here. And I know Brother Daniel, we've rung him out pretty good. So we'll have him back sometime, Lord willing. So I don't think you've heard it. You didn't hurt nobody. Listen, any preacher that can say naked, I like him. Well, take the A out and take the D out. He just naked. When he was reading that scripture, I thought, that dude's from South Carolina. We don't choose our words like the northern people do. Just home folks, man. Just home folks. That's what we are, just home folks. And we appreciate the ministry that he has. How long have you been preaching? Somebody asked me today.
2 months.
2 months?
A few months.
A few months? February? God's going to use that guy. Yeah. Amen? Right. You just keep on the firing line. And don't let your wife beat you up too bad. She's a sweetheart too, you know. He chose her too. Chose her too, okay? So, you can preach to him. all the way to North Carolina. But she's a sweetheart. I told her, I said, we really appreciate you coming. It was a thrill to be able to, for her to be, wanting to be baptized and all. It's kind of a shock, but man, it just started a process that a lot of people come and wanted to be baptized. So, like I said, we've had 19 people baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we appreciate the Lord moving with us and bringing our brother and sister in. And I hope we treated you well. And I hope that you come back. And good, Sister Mark, good to have you with us. Always good to have you with us.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you. She's an inspiration. She's got a son that's an inspiration also. Amen.
Right.
Amen. I'm inspired by sisters that can raise their kids and raise them right. Amen? Like Sister Milka?
Yes.
Raise them boys good. I mean good. They pretty much have to do it by themselves. But you know what? Like Brother Daniel said, you know, we all kind of mama's boys every once in a while. Amen?
Yeah.
So we're all kind of mama boys. But I knew he was a mama's boy. I can tell. His mama loved him too. She wanted to be here this afternoon, but she had to go to work. So work does get in the way. She had a 3-hour drive back to get back home. So let's just pray for each one that's here. Remember now as we go downstairs, Brother John Durrett Jr. and Sister Olivia. She's here, isn't she? She's here? Okay. Sister Olivia, we're going to have a graduation celebration for them with cake. And then there's some things to eat downstairs. Stay with us. And make yourself at home down there and wish them all a wonderful time because this is starting a next phase of their life. They got to get a job or they got to study to learn something that they can get a good job. I believe, and we still live in the world, I still believe in education. I believe that you need to go to school and get you a good education. Amen? And it will help you in life.
Thank you.
Sorry? Okay. All right, well, let's sing another song. Sister Trudy wants to be prayed for. If you want to come up here, we don't want to close without praying for everybody wants to be prayed for.
Crucify behind the stone.
Salvation, everything, just for me and you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to bless our sister. Take care of her. Be with her, Lord. We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else?
Of all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're
worth. Sing it to him right now.
Crucify.
Oh, crucify.
Lay behind the stone.
You live to die.
Rejected and alone.
Request the next time you come, bring that saxophone in the sanctuary.
Right.
Missed that. I almost had your wife go get it, and I thought, no. I know you would have got it, but I didn't want to mess up his preaching, so I don't want to mess up him. But next time, he can play a mean saxophone. You hadn't heard. Preaching and saxophone, he's right there. You do good, brother. I'm proud of you. I like Brother Branham said. He said, "You're a liar if you don't like somebody to pat you on the back and say good service." So we had a good service today. We had a good time in the Lord with our brother, using a young man that wanted to be in three different gangs. You got in the right one finally. Your desire, though, was to be in a gang. Well, you're in a good one now. This is a family. Amen. This one's going to take you into glory, and it's not going to take you into jail or get a bullet to your head. What a testimony. That's wonderful. I'm glad. Fighter, man. You're a fighter. And I appreciate you all. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's go downstairs. We'll dismiss here with a word of prayer. Remember, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us this Wednesday and also Saturday at 7 o'clock. I'll open the doors up. We'll put on the preliminary music. Just come in and pray. And whenever you get ready to leave, we'll just get up and go. Totally informal. You don't have to come, but we had a good service last time praying before the meeting. We got the meeting here coming up in July. July the 3rd will be on Sunday. It will be our 51st anniversary meeting, and Brother Chris Long will be with us two services. From what we're going to do right now, we're going to have the meat part catered and then have you guys bring the other part of the meal. So we'll be announcing that a little bit later. And also remember our trip to Ohio. That will be on July the 21st. We'll be leaving and going to Ohio for about 4 days. Brother Dale's so graciously got us a bus. And so we got a charter bus with about 40-something people going. And we really appreciate that. And we appreciate the prayers for those of you that are not going. There will be live streaming that weekend. We won't have a church service here, but you can live stream from home. And we'll all be in Ohio, and you can live stream from there. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening that you give us. Thank you for Brother Daniel, Lord, and his sweet wife, Lord. We pray that you just protect him, Lord, and the little boy back home. Lord, just give him strength, Lord, as he travels and not be so weary going back home, Lord. We've had a good time with you, Father. I appreciate you speaking through a young man, Lord, that just speaks his heart. And I pray that you just be with them now and bless them. Be with the congregation now. Lord, just bless Sister Olivia Canada, Lord, and Brother John Durrett as they enter into another phase of their life. It's whatever you, Lord, I want them to put you first, Father. And then, Lord, everything else will work out just fine. I pray now that you'd be with us as we go downstairs, sanctify the food that we're about to eat, Lord, the cake and different things. And, Lord, we'll do all this for your honor and glory and be with Brother Aaron Wednesday night as he comes and speaks to us, Lord. the words of eternal life. Father, we pray that you'd just be with the ones that are sick, not with us. The ones that have to travel, we pray that you'd just be with them, Father. Just take care of us now until we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
If you're in the battle for the Lord.